Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
show number 1,000-something-something-and-something. I have to go check that every now and then because I've been so busy with trying to adjust the music in my files for our tournament. But good evening, either way. I'm your host, Michael Lewis Engelman. As always, it is good to have you here on another edition of Soul Tree Radio. Leon Thomas in there. Ooh, and LeBron. Proudly brought to you by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassins of the Black Athlete Sports Network. You know, all the good shit. The who, what, when, where, why, and how right now at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network and Sister Gal Network, ever they may be. And this is the last day of Women's Month, and we want to acknowledge our own superwoman again, Miss Rhonda Harper, who has been doing serious damage, getting her thing off with the young ladies of Africa Surf. She has been on this for years, but she has also been a trooper for human rights. She is our Eartha Kitt, and we love her, and we want to let you know, Rhonda, we're always thinking about you. Go on, get that sis. Go do work now, and please, by all means, go safe. Also want to recognize some of the other members of the Brother Man Network. Radio Reggie doing his thing down in Richmond, Virginia. The Orlando Ledbetter and Cheryl Jonestown out of Philadelphia. Ricky Hampton Sr. out of Detroit City host, along with Mike Robeson from Oakland, of the African-American Athlete Show. Excuse me. Great listen. Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Check in. Go to their great website, theAfricanAmericanAthlete.com. Pat Freeman, the mighty Oba, celebrating his first book, The Art of the Interview. Pretty damn good book, too, brother. You will have him on for a serious sit-down with that sometime soon. Doing this thing up in Western New York, and the Minor Football League is coming close to reality of their season. We'll get an update from Oba with that as well, and, of course, the rest of the brethren. Now, tonight on the menu we will have, as when Tony McClain comes in, part of a discussion that we had about baseball. Because everybody has had their turn in the barrel, it seems. Back in, I believe it was 65, the Old American Football League had an all-star game in New Orleans. The actions of the crackers down in New Orleans were so fucked up that the players said they would not play. So they moved the game from New Orleans to Jepson Stadium, which that's basically Rice's University Stadium in Houston, Texas. This was all done at the last minute because of how the black people were being treated in New Orleans. And rightfully so. It's one of the few times Al Davis actually did something righteous because his actions with black players later on would make me doubt what the fuck he had thinking in his mind. And a few years later, timing is everything. I was thrown into something involving a Super Bowl in Pasadena, California, that had moved from Arizona because the governor there, Evan Meekum, would not recognize Martin Luther King's birthday. I guess he figured he was comfortable being a crack-ass cracker, but ultimately, it took him out of the equation, too. The players that they would not play in Arizona. One of the few times that collectively didn't have their balls in their jock strap, and the game was moved from Arizona to Pasadena in Los Angeles. California made roughly a little over $250 million in a week. And next thing you know, free at last, free at last, that motherfucker signed the order, and Arizona would get a Super Bowl in 96. The point was, they pushed them to the what you want level, and what they wanted was to definitely let these motherfuckers know, you know, it's our game. We run this. At least in theory they do. And so the game was moved. Now, Major League Baseball has something to deal with because it seemed as if they were headed in a similar direction. So check this out. We have, unfortunately for them, an issue where politics and sports really do run together. They made it clear that ultimately you really can't get away from one and skate around the other. The recent voting in Georgia of laws regarding voter registration, which allowed the government there to dictate laws that would seriously compromise people voting in Georgia. This was on the heels, of course, of General Stacey Abrams and her amazing campaign, but not only won Georgia for President Biden, but also won and brought back the balance of Republican and Democrat in the Senate as she helped script both senators, Warnock and Ossoff, from winning their races and redressing a balance in the Senate floor where the Democrats, should shit come to push, would have an advantage because the vice president would be the tie-breaking vote. I got my brother Gary Gregg with me here. And G, now I know you've been to World Series and I know you've been to baseball games and stuff, but give me a take on what you think baseball will do. Will they have the cojones to actually move an all-star game knowing what's going on in Georgia? And good evening. I got Brother Tony McClain with me as well.
Good evening. It depends on what the African-American players say and do. What I mean is this. If the African-American players are silent,
mm-hmm.
they'll speak up. They'll go ahead and play the game in Atlanta. And see, what we need to do as consumers,
uh-huh.
we say, okay, you want to do this? We are not going to any more games. See, I'm telling you, Michael,
mm-hmm.
it's time to boycott shit, okay? Time is over. I'm at the point now.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to be nice anymore, right?
Mm-hmm.
You do this, I'm not going to your game.
Well, look at it this way. And we got Radio Reggie in the mix as well. Tony, the Baseball Players Union is constructed a little bit differently than the Football Players. Football Players Union was over 70% black players. The Baseball Union, well, we know there's a significant drop-off in that. And they never really taken a pot shot at the status quo because basically their union situation is better than most of the ones in major sports. Would baseball be spurred to do so? And do you think they would follow the tune of the National and American Football Leagues and actually force Major League Baseball to move that from that venue?
My gut says no, but I think the fact that, because see, it's been, you know, it was the the Major League Baseball Players Association that has, I guess, kicked the can with this,
right.
so to speak. And you know, their head guy is Tony Clark,
mm-hmm.
a guy that you will see a little bit more than Ralph Ellison. Yeah, you'll see him a little bit more than Ralph Ellison.
Mm-hmm.
DeMaurice Smith.
exactly.
and he's, you know, he's been very viable out there. I would think that he would just come to them, you know, appeal to their – I think he's just going to appeal to moralistically. But see, here's what's going to be tough. Baseball's already lost, and all these other sports have lost a ton of money over the last year, like everybody's had in regards to the pandemic.
Definitely.
Next to the World Series and, for the most part, somewhat opening day, although I think even the specter of opening day now is more ceremonial than anything else. But
yep.
Next to the World Series, All-Star Week is Major League Baseball Showcase Week.
Uh-huh.
And knowing how these guys think, and knowing that there's very little black influence either on the field or off the field, it's going to be tough. I would, you know, in a perfect world, we would like to see them do this, but baseball, you know, let's be honest. Baseball always finds a way to mess this up. And as Pollyanna, as optimistic as I can be at times, I get the feeling it's not going to happen. And the fact that the story that we ran on our Facebook page, I literally can't find it anymore now. But if they're going to do it, it's going to have to be, I would say, soon, because, yes, it's in July. So if you're going to make all of these changes and everything like that, it's got to be, I would think it would have to be done no later than end of April, beginning of May.
Sure.
So, yeah, I mean, I would love to see it, just to, you know, to send the message. And I know there's going to be folks out there that said, you know, the whole shut up and dribble gang is going to be out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, let's put it this way. All this talk with all these leagues about how, you know, look, it's one thing to have players have, you know, slogans, league picked slogans, by the way, on helmets, on shirts, on whatever. But we all know when you start getting into that federal green,
that's right,
everything changes.
Go.
My
changes
Michael,
everything.
There's one thing. We had Donald Trump as president.
Yeah.
Under Donald Trump, I don't think we did anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
Under Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, there might be a move. It depends on how the wind blows. Baseball is not doing anything great after the wind blows your way.
Well, I don't think, and Reggie, think about this. Can we really say that baseball has been progressive as all four sports have moved on, you know, from decade to decade? I mean, has baseball really given everybody the feeling that, yeah, everybody, you know, it's for everybody and it's our pastime and all that stuff?
Well, look at when it comes to the Hall of Fame. I mean, how in the ham sandwich do you not neglect nobody in the Hall of Fame? And I'm still trying to figure out, I'm a man from the Pittsburgh Pirates back in the 70s. I think Parker has not.
Yep.
I mean, for them to have rapists, murderers, and a bunch of jackasses in it early. Now, okay, you want to go with Pete Rose for betting on the game? All right. Okay, I can go with that because that's on every clubhouse on the wall, as T-Mac talked about back in the day. You do not bet on games. Okay, I get that. But for them to say Chick did the long ball and McGuire and the white boy Sosa before he turned white, or should I say pink, and now, you know, outbound or whatever the hell he is. I don't know what color he is. This
one. Chartreuse.
Whatever the hell he is. You know, I'm just saying that it's amazing how they brought baseball back. But yet you had fucking pitchers doing steroids. You had the managers taking poppers.
Yep.
And back in the 70s, just trying to stay on 130, 40 fucking games back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
They were taking upwards to just trying to keep them straight. So they've been spraying that ice spray on legs. That's a form of drugs. And then they want to come with this bullshit. Come up, well, you know, steroids, you know, it's tainting the game. Bullshit. Y'all fuckers been tainting the game because of your white supremacist racist-ass attitudes. And then don't get me started with Marshawn and these other managers back in the day, how they acted and how they getting over on young Latin Americans where they give them $1,000 and a horse tranquilizer and something, bring their ass across the water, and we happy.
There you go.
So fuck baseball. Right. And just my
opinion. Well, yeah, because, listen, baseball has always been two-faced.
And they took the World Series away, too. And just not forget that. They took the World Series away.
But baseball's always been two-faced with this because now you got a clear situation where you better do something or else. I didn't think at first this was an or else situation, but the way that Georgia reacted after the election and went out of their way to put the hammer down on the Voting Rights Act and style it the way it did and have people get acceptance, have the sister get arrested. She's knocking on the door. So I know what you motherfuckers are doing in there. And they threw her ass in jail. And she could possibly do 10 years, which we would think is unlikely. But we've seen enough to know different. And now baseball, for everything it wants to be with Ma and apple pie and all that other horse shit, it is clearly in the eye of a conundrum. Do they wake the fuck up and tell everybody, all right, we got to do this differently, and flex on that wallet, and that makes people say what you want? Or do they stick with the status quo and risk even more popularity because, again, they are fifth in a four-horse race? We got the professor with us as well. So, gentlemen, I toss that to you. Anyone first take that on? How would you handle that?
Well, I think that, you know, going by their history, God forgive me, don't fuck it up. I don't put it this way. I think the fact that it's only the Players Association that's talking about this just lets you know where the sports lie. At least the players have somewhat of a conscience. And again, historically, the precedent has been set. Of course, New Orleans in the '60s. Arizona in the 90s. To me, again, it's more COVID related in the sense of they lost money last year, and they want the All-Star. They want this All-Star game to be, you know, a gala. So, and see, they're arrogant enough where they don't care. You know, they have in their own, they already have that emperor's new clothes mentality anyway.
Right.
So it would, but again, it would be, it would be nice. And there'll be some backlash. You know, you can already hear what Fox and CNN and all these other folks, how they'll react to it. But you know, that's you know, that's predictable. Their reactions are as predictable as Misty Jones wrestling match. But I would, you know, it would definitely make an impact because it would be going after their dollars, and it would
one of the things we need to do, I'm being serious about this. If they play a game, I think they will. We need to write down every advertiser that advertised that game. And we need to know.
You're right, Gene.
You advertise that. You advertise that game. We are not going to buy your products.
Yeah. Boycott work.
Until you go forward with different steps.
Yeah, no, boycotts work. We know it costs them money, and money is where it's no joke. If we can recall what happened in 65, as I'm looking at this article by Neil Graves, it says trouble for 20 black football players surfaced as soon as they stepped off the plane at New Orleans International Airport. It was January 9th, 1965, and the men were in town to play the American Football League All-Star Game. But before 24 hours had transpired, events got so insufferably bad, they all left. Now think about that. You know, you're down there, you're welcoming revenue into their town. Hotels, bars, everything else that goes with that. And 20 black players come and people lose their bunny rabbit blinking minds and cause them to forfeit a game. Now, even though we're talking $60, we're talking dollars. So we can't ignore just how much that would have been, especially when the style of play of the American Football League was intriguing to a lot of fans. They were just starting to wake up the fan interest in them. Professor, what you think?
Based on what I think you all are talking about, the first thing that's going to get shot back in your face is, well, where was the NBA All-Star Game held?
Yeah.
Atlanta, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. If you didn't stop them, and that's a heavily Negroid facility, as well
yep.
as heavily Negroid All-Stars, because, I mean, the most of the wasn't this the year they did the black referee thing? Anyway.
And the whole HBCU celebration as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You all took the HBCU thing and it was okay for the NBA, and now you're trying to say it's not okay for baseball?
Where mm-hmm. was the NBA All-Star game?
Atlanta.
So was
when?
Say, was Atlanta.
What day?
Huh?
What day was that? What day was that?
It was about a month ago.
Yeah.
And see, my point is simply this. You're talking about boycotting against a bunch of people who, you know, it ain't like we got that many of us in baseball, no way. We don't attend, you know, and we do not attend in big numbers for that very reason.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see where it's going to be plausible to make that big of a stink about it because
mm-hmm. –
Quiet as it's being kept, you know, that was a fight event too. When you look at the fact that you had all the, and you know, normally I don't get too racial, and you all know that, but you know, you had these Negroes out there acting just like them stupid white people. Although,
right.
I you know, whether or not they got their shot or not, they think they're invincible,
and
mm-hmm. they were unmasked. Falling all over each other, it looked like indoor spring break, and
mm-hmm.
so
it was sad looking.
I know what the intent is, but excuse me, I don't see how it would work that well. It could, you know, I mean, because baseball is not one of our strongest sports as we
That's
now
right.
stand.
And Professor, don't forget, they're going to honor Hank Aaron, and he did just pass.
So, they're going to honor him. They should be honoring Joe Morgan and two or three other baseball personnel that we've lost.
Yeah,
the
they're going to throw some Negro League players in there, too. Watch
well,
see.
There you
Although
go. That's part of the problem here because, Fred, I believe Fred's on the right path here. You know, the union is mostly white players. They've not been asked to have a social conscience about this shit. You know, and any time they've really stepped to anything having to do with black, all it is really is about buying them a 42 jerseys to celebrate Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier. They don't really care about social issues to any great depth. COVID made people think about stuff, but COVID ain't going to stop this All-Star game.
Mike, one of the things you got to look at here is, you know, there's some major league teams that have 1, 2, 3
yep.
Negroes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that's because you can't necessarily count the guys from the Caribbean or from
right.
from Mexico or from,
I know what you mean.
From South America. You know, they don't see things the way we do.
No. And we also have to consider the financial commitment they would make to such a move. When I covered that Super Bowl in 92, we knew, and so did Arizona know, they had turned off the spout on a lot of cash coming in. They didn't realize how much cash until after the Super Bowl was done in Pasadena after what they messed up. But it was enough to make that cat sign that deal and say, well, yeah, Martin Luther birthday, that's okay now, we'll go. And they knew they lost about $300 million in that week. Now, I don't know how much money an All-Star game would generate.
Yeah, let's be honest. The All-Star game is not going to generate the kind of same money as the Super Bowl.
Right. But we're talking about a moral platform now, Tony. You know how they like that. They love that shit. So now.
I agree.
So will they do that? That's the question.
You know, again, flat up, I just, you know, knowing baseball's history, knowing baseball's record, I you know, as much as I would like to see it happen, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen either because of who they are.
They've never shown to have a conscience. You know, I don't, you know, the whole thing of everybody wearing 42 on the 15th and then the problem is still there on the 16th, that doesn't do anything. I mean, I'm glad that, you know, the Robinson Foundation is able to make a couple of bucks and everything like that.
Exactly.
But if you're going to look big picture, you have to look big picture at all things. And let's face it, they've never shown a social conscience. Only when it's benefited them. And see, the other factor here, I think, that's also is, you know, they see how the NFL was able to come back this year. They saw how the NBA and NHL has come back. And probably if you catch them in a private moment, hey, we want our shit too.
Exactly. Yeah. They're struggling because they've got no comeback factor. Yes. But now
we know who they are because we asked them to retire number 21.
Right. For
Roberto Clemente. Number 21 for Mr. Roberto Clemente.
Right.
They asked nothing about that. Nothing.
No. I doubt they will, G, in all honesty.
So, gentlemen, something we got to look at here when it comes to baseball, you know, just looking at it from a totally marketing perspective. Well, first of all, let me say this. Whilst I believe that they eat and all the things that I said, one of the lessons you learn in baseball is you can't hit if you don't swing. So with that in mind, something should be done by somebody. And we got to change the dynamic of baseball in the black community, because we all grew up pretty much playing baseball. But you know, think about it, kids. You know, I mean, I saw there was a thing on Facebook today or yesterday.
Yep.
You know, kids back in the day wanted a bike. Kids today want an iPad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that ain't the first one of those kinds of things, you know, that I've seen. You know, I know one of my friends who he was able to get his girls to play softball faster than his boys to play baseball. And they're better at it than the boys are, although the boys may be better athletes all around. You don't want to play football, which I understand. And I say, you know, it's easy for us to blame the major leagues for their lack of impetus as far as, you know, getting black kids interested. But then so much of that falls back on us, because remember, we want to be like Mike.
Exactly.
50 pounds. I want to be like Mike. I can't jump out of a chair, but I want to be like Mike. You see, that's where we have allowed Mike to become a billionaire, selling us shoes
right.
that we you know, that we want to get rid of when we get one scuff on them. You know, and it would be okay if the damage stopped there, but the, I ain't playing no baseball in my Nikes. I want to look good.
I feel you, Fred. But let's look at this. Yeah, even when baseball had black players, it was never a predominant amount. You know, the ones that were there were excellent, and then when the Latinos and other brown players got involved, yeah, it made for some flavor in the lineups. But baseball was still predominantly white, and they didn't have a social Rubicon to cross until, you know, the breaking of the barrier and stuff like that. So my point is this. If they have the so-called moral high ground now because it's been put in their lap, will they follow through or will they just say, you know, I ain't got nothing to do with this shit. My name is Bennett and I ain't in it.
Michael, when the Pittsburgh Pirates in 1972-73.
September 1st, 1971.
71. When they put every position in a black player's hands, baseball lost its mind. It lost its mind because when the Pirates won the World Series with that team, they said, oh, hell no, we ain't doing this.
Yeah, but still, this has more to do with whether or not they hear or they feel the pulse of what's going on. Football's had that advantage because of the popularity of it. Basketball, too. But baseball is trying to catch up, and they don't see themselves making a lightning leap that would catch football and basketball and give them an opportunity to pass. This is a different story because even though they'll try to tell you there's no politics in sports, this is politics like a motherfucker. You know, you're going to play in Georgia knowing that Georgians can't vote because they're being skunked by a scumbag governor and his minions. And now you've got
Mike, hold on, Mike. Here's my question, yeah. Mike. If
Please.
We look at the pandemic, the stadium is not going to be filled because the numbers are shooting up right now. And we already know about Johnson & Johnson, the fiasco, where they had about 500,000 different of their medicine destroyed because of human error, which I said, Johnson & Johnson, I wouldn't give up my dog in them Johnson & Johnson compared to lawsuits they got with the talcum powder and the women with ovarian cancer. That's just a segment of that. But I'm just saying, and realistically, it's not that many brothers playing baseball, and most of the Europeans that are going to be there are unmatched. So I'm just saying again that we need, in my humble opinion, to start kicking ass and taking names, as I said, on a local level and getting politicians in there that's going to look at the big picture. Sports is just right now. Sports has been,
something to look at there, too. Again, anytime you have a quote-unquote meeting of the mind, where you have to have a meeting of the minds, you have to have both sets of minds moving. One can't, you know, I don't want you coming to my house telling me how I should be running my house when I can't come tell you how to run yours.
Yeah.
There has to be a middle ground somewhere. I don't see it, and I don't see it more from our side than their side, because all they got to do is set it moving, because they're in control, so they got things. All they got to do is set them in motion. What has happened now is, okay, the door is open. Who going to walk through? Remember, Jackie Robinson was groomed for that. Some of the other black players were groomed for that, to be that first person. And
well,
who we got?
This is where they, Fred, but this is where they can't push a moral upgrade button because, you know,
Nobody's going to say, well, you got to wait 2 years before you can whip somebody's ass for calling you nigger here. This is a clear question that's got nothing to do with the ball field, but everybody's affected by it because if half your citizens can't vote because they're black or they've made their process more difficult because they're black and brown, then you've got a problem.
But, Mike, with Coca-Cola and Delta Airlines behind the scenes, they were rejoicing over this voter suppression. And then when the kitchen got hot, especially Coke.
No, I know. That's why baseball.
Well, we want to sit back and we want to be for black people. And here's Delta. The hell with y'all. We got paid, you know. So we cool. Y'all niggas going to fly down to Atlanta. So we don't care.
We done said Reggie, we done said it more than a couple times.
And that's
work.
Why we need to stop flying Delta.
Yeah. Don't fly Delta.
Hey,
don't drink fucking Coca-Cola.
Stop them.
You know, and UPS isn't UPS located in Atlanta as well? Their base is there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So all of those things must be considered. And this is not something casual because if you read those changes that were made to the Georgia voting laws, you would understand the immediacy of this. They are literally talking. We got pissed because you Negroes won down there. You weren't supposed to win. We were supposed to keep this shit tight. Now they won't make you count bubbles
and Mike, what do you do
anymore.
About Tyler Perry? Tyler Perry's already out and said, now we did flip two seats. Even he's come out and said, don't boycott. So what we do about Tyler Perry?
The hell with Tyler Perry.
Let's move on.
There's gonna be folks that's just it's like the old Richard Pryor skit. I ain't gonna lose my pension, nigga. That's for y'all.
There
fine.
You go. Yeah.
That's fine.
There you go. Let's also remember the General Abrams factor here. Stacey Abrams coordinated an effort that nobody thought she could do. And a lot of it was because she was black and a lot of it was because she's female. And when she did the full effect of all of the damage she did with getting those two seats in there and winning Georgia, you know, the attitude was like, you got beat by a girl. And them crackers couldn't stand that shit. And this is straight retaliation. There's no other way to describe it, you know. And because she did it in such a complete manner, and over 40 other states are considering altering their laws as well. Because we weren't supposed to win.
They got beat at their own game.
Exactly.
And it was done, you know, because see, here's the thing. What Hitler did in Germany was legal.
Mm-hmm.
Slavery was legal. Segregation was legal. Again, if you go by your history, a lot of oppression was, in their mind's eyes, legalized oppression.
Yes.
So
that's right.
So in a sense, the fact that they, in a sense, got beat by their own, not even so much by their own laws, but they realized that, you know, there was a different cat, or in this case, kitten.
General Abrams outflanked them. Yeah, didn't expect her to be as effective as she was, again, dismissing the fact that she was black and female when she was the alpha. I mean, she truly dominated the situation because when she lost where there were questionable situations with the eventual winner, Governor Kemp, that compromised her situation. Rather than her getting mad, she got even. And her impact has been felt now will be felt for the next 4 years, as long as Biden's grimy ass is doing what he's doing, which really ain't much when you look at it. That's why Major League Baseball has a chance to make a moral leap and put themselves on the path of the righteous by following along with this and moving the game, because
it's a moral imperative rather than going along with what they do down in Atlanta. And we know
that
all these things are there.
They don't care.
But they may not care, G. I want to see proof whether or not they don't care or not. I want to see proof whether or not they realize, well, we need to boost our game up. This might give us that. But if they don't do that, it wouldn't be a surprise, G. You know, they're just falling back on their own stupidity / whiteness. So having said all of that, all I'm saying is the amount of money that it would take them to move the game to a different venue would be less than the long-term hassle and upkeep. They would have to fight off boycotts, fight off perception, and lose even more popularity as the game goes on. Because even with 20% capacity in those parks, I really don't think you're going to get enough of this. You're not going to get enough of a spirit of inclusion in all the parks across Major League Baseball universe where people will want to go. You know, never mind COVID and all the other stuff, the desire to go will be taken away because of how stumbling they are in this
sport. Mike, to be fair, we cannot ignore COVID.
Yeah, you're right. I got to stand corrected on that.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. But see, in a sense, COVID is why where we're at right now.
True.
Because see, and ironically, Georgia and Texas. Oh, and Florida too. Let me not leave out Florida. Now, I believe. I think two of the three states I just mentioned are going to have opening day games tomorrow. And as of right now, now as we all know, Texas, surprise surprise, has gone rogue. They're, you know, so they may have 50,000 people at the Rangers semi new ballpark. It's been open for a year, but you know, no one's really been in it. Now, ironically, they also have 50,000 more COVID cases afterwards, but that's a whole other story. But
matter. Come on, y'all.
Look, you heard Eric Goodell earlier this week. Oh, we expect full houses for our 17-game season.
Right.
Really?
don't think baseball wouldn't watch him.
Oh, that's why they're gonna see. I'm trying not to rain on folks, but I actually sat down and thought about it and everything. See, look, they're going through penis envy right now with the other three leagues because you know the NFL season. With all its warts, they got through it. NBA is thriving this year, and hockey is thriving as well. So they're saying, "Oh, we've got to. I want mine. I'm gonna get mine." To see the other factor, Mike. Right now, March 31st at 9:43 p.m. 70 some seconds. They're saying 20% capacity in the ballparks.
Right.
Now, the other factor I think is they're saying 20 now, but if things play out, see, this is going to, I've said this many times, opening week is usually ceremonial for the most part.
True.
But I want to watch this to see the attendance. This is one time where I'm actually going to really watch what the attendance is going to be the first 3-4 games. Now, apparently we're supposed to get rain down here tomorrow, so there's a possibility of the motherfuckers from the Bronx may get their home opener rained out tomorrow.
Yeah,
I believe Boston starts on the road, and I know the Mets are in D.C. So, but again, you got tomorrow's traditional opening day where pretty much, I think not everybody, but everybody's playing. There's a bunch of day games.
and a handful of night games. But once you look past, you know, the fact that, you know, it's opening day, I really want to see just what's how attendance is going to play out, because the little bit of games that I've watched this year, you know, locally and outside of my market, they're pushing like, hey, welcome back to fame. I mean, the Houston, I was listening to a Houston game, and there, I mean, they're like, they were dancing like those idiots in the H&R Block commercial about bringing the fans back.
Well, look, they first have to come up with the percentage of people that would allow them to still maintain a profit margin, which is where that 20% number came up. We got Patrick Farrar in the mix as well. And with that said, if baseball has this interfered with because of continual pressure from Georgia and elsewhere regarding this, I doubt elsewhere will be a factor. But if people in Georgia continue this up, where they may stir this up to a what you want moment, then they would have to truly, strongly consider moving this in order to move forward. This would not be, in my mind, a losing posture, because, you know, you got to make some to get some. If Major League Baseball, without a majority of minority players, took this step, it would say, okay, you really are America's game, in my mind. But, of course, I surely could be wrong on this. All I'm saying is that they are going to be put in a position where they have to dribble or shoot. And if they take a walk on this and go to first base, that's not going to be enough. I got Patrick Farrar in the mix as well. Patrick, can you hear us?
We don't have professional baseball, thank you.
Live and living color, so
no basketball.
Fred, there's some major league cities that don't have big baseball either.
No kidding. As I was saying, we don't have major league baseball, nor major league basketball.
But I'm just saying, this way,
Division I basketball is king here.
The people in Colorado are still looking for a major league baseball team. I'll just leave it with that.
Hello.
That ain't that.
Hit the home run. Mm-hmm.
Think
about two sisters in the championship of the NCAA tournament, man. We got two sisters coaching.
Yeah, man, I was going to talk about that.
Yes, we can touch on that.
It's a wonderful thing. Quite frankly, it's wonderful. Glad to see. I've known about Dawn Staley from the time I saw her play here in Jersey City, play against St. Peter's College.
Really,
and they had those two big, tall white girls, blonde white girls. And all of a sudden, I'm seeing this little sister. I asked her sister down the, as I was covering the game, I said, who was this little sister wearing that? And out!
Patrick, now she's wearing them out in the recruiting game.
I'm going to tell you something. It's great to see. I'm happy to see it, even though we're not going to talk about RM in Connecticut getting that bogus file.
That was bullshit. But Patrick, what about the Baylor coach talking about they needed dope players? I'm glad that bitch lost, man, Ms. Donald Trump.
Don't get me started on, man.
I said it, Patrick. I don't want you to get no trouble, Patrick, because we know people listening, but I said I can't stand the bitch from Baylor who's a Trump supporter. I'm saying
well,
it, so I want
well,
you to get no trouble.
Dude, you ain't got to want me, because I've said worse than that. But, you know, she's reflective of who and what that is. Here's the trick. How that's going to affect recruiting for her, that's going to be the trick. And this other young lady, Ada Barnes, who was from Arizona, man, she played in Arizona. She has a whole bunch of records in Arizona, man. She was actually played with the I remember her vaguely because for years I was covering the WNBA. She played on the first Seattle Storm championship. A good-looking child, too, about 6'3". And she came. She was in the recording booth, and somebody reached out from Arizona for her to come back and look at a job. But here's one of the key things. There's two elements of this: having an athletic director that has foresight and thinks progressively was the reason she got that job. She had a three-hour conversation and got the job because she was even looking for it. And she took it. And, you know, again, she played with the WNBA and she played court, you know, overseas. But here's the thing about her squad that's very interesting. Her squad, she has two recruits from Spain,
yeah.
a recruit from Turkey, a recruit from Australia, and a recruit from Iceland. I'm going, what kind of recruitment budget they got?
Yeah,
all them children there.
What you mean?
Hey, but you know something? She got him. She's blown attendance away even through the pandemic in Arizona. She's done the job, and I'm glad to see her play against Connecticut. So I'm glad to see it.
And Pat Patrick, as I shamefully have to represent the entire state of Connecticut, that was a damn foul. That's all I'll say.
Tony, that was a touchdown.
Oh, yeah, really.
There you go.
Put it this way. Put it this way. Longstreet, Ironside, Roy Orbison, all them folks called and texted me and said, that's a damn foul.
Perry Mason?
Perry Mason? Even Dellen Paul.
You know Perry was in there. That's right.
Even Dellen Paul said, damn, that was a foul.
Oh, shit. Gentlemen.
T-Mac, don't forget about Tenafly.
Yeah, there you go. Gentlemen,
I'll take Sunday Night NBC movies for
one. There you go. We welcome Eric Satterwhite into the fray, but I got an update.
Yo.
The CEOs from Coca-Cola and Delta now are speaking against the so-called voter laws. So they may be tapping that bank a little bit, but they haven't hit it hard enough.
Mike, I'm gonna throw in a piece about the baseball piece about the attendance.
Please,
you know something? I think the attendance will show some escalation, particularly in the southern states. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But Texas, I mean, Houston, Atlanta. But I think the continuum relative to what you were saying about the All-Star game, they're gonna keep the All-Star game. In Atlanta, they're going through that game because some white folks want to see that.
Mm-hmm.
But the heat to being put on them concerning doing so, particularly after the remarks that after the moonwalk of the Delta CEO and then particularly the Coca-Cola CEO, what they said it was wrong. Somebody must have told them, is that what you want to do here in Georgia? Okay.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now, I want to also throw this into the pot because over the last couple of weeks, we've had situations where people in the booth have been bitten the ass by the hot mic. Now, we know in Norman, Oklahoma, two guys got thrown into the mix, and supposedly they got put on probation because they were calling the young ladies from Norman fucking niggas, and they couldn't stand it because they were kneeling, ain't fucking niggas this, fucking niggas that. Now, just the other day, Tom Brenneman, a supposed veteran of the media wars, got also bitten by the hot mic when he was calling an area Fag City. And in the midst of the broadcast, he said, well, we got to change it up because he didn't say his ass was being fired, but that's basically what had happened. He got let go. But I want you to hear this clip because this is white-splaining at its best. Now, when that guy from Norman got busted. He said, oh, I've got diabetes, and that's what caused me to lose my mind. Well, Brenneman wasn't that simple, but it's the explanation that cracks me the fuck up. Please pay attention for the next 4 minutes.
A decades-long broadcast career put on hold after a conversation that took just a few seconds. Sports announcer Tom Brenneman used a gay slur during a Reds game 3 months ago.
Since then, he resigned, no longer doing Cincinnati baseball, no longer doing the NFL on Fox. Tonight, Brenneman visits our studio that we set up for social distancing to talk about a big mistake, big changes, and hopefully a different kind of big future.
It turned my world. It embarrassed my family. It embarrassed my dad. It embarrassed a city and a franchise that I've loved my entire life since I moved here when I was 10 years old. I embarrassed myself, and I hurt a lot of people so deeply and so badly.
Reds Live, the pregame show.
August 19th, game one of a Reds doubleheader in Kansas City. The open mic incident that might have closed the door on Tom Brenneman's 30-plus year broadcasting career. Coming back from commercial, he utters a three-letter gay slur. He thinks they're still in a break. It went out over the air.
Tell me about the point when you actually knew that something might have inadvertently gotten over the air. How did you hear about it, and what was going through your mind as this was all happening?
As soon as the game was over, we were broadcasting the game from the Fox Ohio studios. We weren't traveling with a team. And so I went into an office to start writing down the lineups for the second game and got a text from an executive from the Reds saying this went out over the air. And had a clip of it. I played it sitting by myself in an office. And from that moment in time, I mean, everything was just a complete whirlwind. I knew at that exact moment that this was very, very, very bad.
After thousands of hours of TV in our living rooms, it's one three-letter word shining the light on the culture of ignorance that so many are just born into.
What I said was a terrible word. And I think it's a word that I know I've used before, growing up playing sports, growing up with your buddies, ribbing each other here and there in places as you get to be young adults and that kind of thing, but never really truly understood what that word means to so many people.
Brenneman says to fully understand the hurt that word symbolizes, he joined the board of Children's Home of Northern Kentucky.
It's the most highly credited children's home in a 7-state region, or so I'm told, that deals with gay children or trans children who have been thrown out of their house, Mike. Thrown out of their house.
By parents who were not accepting.
By families who couldn't come to grips with the fact that their child is struggling with either sexual orientation, gender, identity, whatever it might be. And for those of us who are parents, if that doesn't hit you right between the eyes.
Brenneman believes everything happens for a reason. He believes it's made him a better person.
It's been an amazing journey. And I have no doubt it's part of a bigger plan. And I have had no doubt since day one, not for a second, I have had no doubt that this is going to end up being the best thing that ever happened to me.
He didn't want to talk about the conversation that led to the slur. He said that it's all on him, and he just didn't want to get into it.
You appreciate his honesty, brutal honesty there. He's starting a company, I think, a new company as well. So tell us a little bit about that.
Well, it's called Dialed In, and he plans to speak with high-profile young athletes all across America on how one mistake can cost you a scholarship or a career, whether it be the spoken word or social media. And by the way, his first presentation was this past weekend. Bob Huggins invited him to West Virginia to talk with his basketball team.
Yeah, certainly we all can take.
You know what? Fuck your feelings. I'm not joking. I've been around this cat before, and he came up for a game, which was a playoff game, and I happened to be in the elevator at Giant Stadium as the discourse was going on. They were mumbling some shit in the elevator. Now, I did not have my press pass tossed to the front at the time. Whatever reason, it was in the back of my neck and whatnot, hanging from there. Long story short, we get out, and after he finishes dialing, he was talking about a black player. I swung my credentials to the front and walked out and glared at this fucker. So he knew this was somebody, like Tony said, it's not a matter of contrition. It's a matter of getting caught. You got caught. And now because you got caught, all of a sudden butter doesn't melt in your mouth. Please miss me with that bullshit.
Mike,
because this was on the heels, Patrick, just said, because this was on the heels of what happened in Norman, you know, he got fired only because he was referring to gays. Had he said something about black folks, he'd have gotten suspended. Think about it. Mike Greenberg with the Martin Luther Coon, he got suspended. You know, oh, I didn't say coon. Yes, you did, motherfucker. So because these had to do, or this had to do with something that wasn't specifically black, they put the axe to his ass. He got busted. There's no other way to say it. He got stone cold busted.
Mm-hmm. Mike, you know, I've heard. Let me be blunt as I can.
Please.
I've heard, I'm too old and heard too much of these apologies like that.
Thank you.
To hear this PR campaign for him to set himself for another job.
Exactly.
That's what that's all about.
That's
right. About.
That's what that was.
You know, I've never heard it. When he said, it's helped me to look at things, but I'm going on my PR campaign to West Virginia with Bob Huggins and the boys. It's a
come
simple.
On.
But, you know, like
that's
you
right.
said, this has been going on all the time. You know, there are guys who make mistakes. We're all human. But there are also
yep.
guys who feel emboldened to do whatever they want to do, say they want to, whatever they want to say, particularly in the old boys
yep.
club, in the booth. And, Mike, we've seen it to a guy.
Yep.
He's one of those guys who thought he'd get
mm-hmm.
by with it, and this is what happens.
Exactly.
Michael, did I hear him correctly? Did they not say he had set up some kind of a company?
Yes,
to
he did.
Which he and make speeches.
I heard him, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Aren't those, most of those things like that where you go out to speak to basketball teams and stuff, especially at
yep.
Division One basketball teams,
yep.
aren't those like five figures, you know, like 20, 10,
mm-hmm.
20, 15?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you make a few of them speeches. You know, it was like somebody was trying to tell me that Colin Powell was going to lose money when he left, you know, left the White House. So, no.
Yep.
Colin Powell just pays $65,000 to $100,000 per speech plus an expense package, which
that's
he got
right.
to do with the upfront.
Mm-hmm.
In other
yep.
words, if Colin Powell makes, say, round numbers, 10 speeches a year,
yep.
he got well over $500,000, not counting
the
– So homeboy is what he's telling us without telling us is he's already set up to reap the benefits of his.
Exactly. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Bob, you know, and Bob Huggins is leading the way for somebody who's asked he gets a kiss over the years or. Vice versa. Either way it goes, you know, these guys.
That's right.
These guys.
Yeah, he was white explaining. He was white explaining that I'm still getting paid. You're just not gonna hear me on the air anymore calling baseball and football games.
Now, Mike, who's gonna be Mike? He's gonna be in air doing something.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
There's levels of broadcast now that he can go into. He may not be within the broader network that we might hear, but he's going to make some money. And Fred hit it right in the
exactly.
head. You ain't
yep,
going to Bob
right.
Huggins basketball team in West Virginia if you can make the connections to make something happen for yourself despite
mm-hmm.
your message.
That's exactly
Patrick,
right.
Patrick, one name, Craig Carton.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
A convicted fucking
right.
felon.
Don't get me started.
Don't
even get
me
started.
Got his job right back at the fan.
Sure did.
Oh, don't get me started on him, man, because I will stop cussing. He talked about white privilege. That's white privilege till that guilt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. This is Bluto being a talking head as opposed to eventually being a fucking senator. But Carton's situation was just like that. A couple of my colleagues were actually in that movie as dealers in talking about his gambling addiction and all that with poker, et cetera, et cetera. But guys like that believe in the era of Trump that they have no fail-safe situation. They're going to do whatever they want to do. They're going to say whatever they want to say, and they will use whatever. It's all about how smooth they are in the spin getting out of it. There's no there's no exile for Bredeman. He realizes that his ship will shift to a different place, but there's no exile for him. If a brother had said that, forget it. It's done. That's a wrap. That his black ass ain't coming on nowhere.
Mike, Exhibit A, Tim Hardaway.
Thank you. That's right. He disappeared faster than DeMora Smith. You kidding me?
And the killer. Oh, I've never. It just I didn't know how much I hurt people. Man, please shut up.
He's just telling us how much it cost him. He's just telling
look
you how much it cost him.
Yeah, and look how quickly they recovered from Mike Greenberg. I mean, he said Martin Luther King. I heard it. I didn't believe it or make it up or dream it. He said it. And the bullshit excuse that he gave, the mouse went along with it.
Mike, to show you how this really works, okay, think back about two, three weeks, when this young man walks in his different places and shoots these people that they're trying to determine if he committed a hate crime.
Right.
Elephant in the room. Well, you know, did you notice how quickly the cover-up started? What did the police officer say? Oh,
he had a bad fucking day.
And guess what happened to him last week? He had a bad day because they got rid of his butt for being a spokesman of the police department.
And basically what you're seeing now, they're turning the Derek Chauvin trial into the George Floyd trial.
That's right.
Ain't gonna work.
They got no legal leg to stand on, but all they need is one motherfucker to come in there and hold fast and say no. That's all they're hoping for.
Mike, when a juror said he can't take it, he had to leave the trial today because he couldn't take it.
That's right. They know. They know how dick dastardly this shit is. They ain't going to change up. That platform is laid out there. And if somebody can't see that a black man's humanity ain't worth shit in the face of how this went down, I don't know about y'all, but I had to see that shit twice. That motherfucker take the life of that brother like that. And I couldn't sleep for 3 fucking days because I know the depth of what he did, that smirk on his face, and that he was one of these little dick motherfuckers because he was 5'9 and had issues with his height. And he could brag to his friends that he took down this big black buck, 6'3", 240, blah, blah, blah. And say, you know, those niggas, their neck snapped like nothing and no problem. He's the kind of motherfucker that would get a tattoo for killing a person of color, black or brown. And nobody would know except those few in his clique. And there's some police departments that roll like that. And I'm not speaking on all fucking cops, but you know the dirty motherfuckers. Y'all roll with that. Don't pretend you don't. And seeing this played out on air like this, it's like, yeah, it would make anybody who's human think about shit and wretch had to be revulsed by the fact that y'all did all of this shit, and you knew why you were doing it, and you had no remorse whatsoever. You killed him like you were ordering a fucking cup of ramen and a cheese sandwich at that fucking couple foods place.
Well, Mike, you know, one mistake I've already spotted. When the young man that was one of the clerks was asked about what he thought about, you know, what he thought his condition was, The prosecutor should have objected to him asking opinion. He did not. Because he's not a professional.
Yeah.
And he said he looked like he was high. And
looked like he was high.
That should never seen the light of day. I'm not sure. It came out of his mouth and so forth. But the district attorney, the person from the district attorney's office should have objected.
Yeah.
Even Pyramid.
How do you look like you're high? Describe. Yes. He should have went further in that. Mm-hmm. He needed to give me a detailed description. Was his eyes glassy? Was his pupils dilated? Something like that.
He stayed on that
and eliminated that crap. Mm. But see, we know they're going to ask questions that should not be asked. The point is to have that proper defense and counter that nonsense. You know,
yeah.
The fact that this is going to last for a month roughly is going to be an overall examination of this country and the democracy that does not exist. You know, I don't want to hear that all men are created equal shit. When you got further down in the paper that there's a 3/5 compromise, that 5 black men are worth 3 white ones. Get the fuck out of here with miss me with that nonsense, and I could give a fuck about the 13th, 14th, or 15th Amendments. The fact that you had amendments means you knew your shit was bogus from Jump Street, and all men are created equal except for the slaves that we fucking own. That's what they really should have said, but I digress. Mm-hmm.
Nuts.
Yeah. But anyway, carrying on from there, Reggie did open up with the idea of the sisters in the tournament. You know, I'm happy for Dawn Staley because she has really worked at her craft for a long time now.
Yes,
the sisters from Arizona popping up like that was kind of cool. And I don't think we're not going to see stuff like that in the men's game anymore. The ladies are really working at this hard. But they're not going to give them the platform they need to show the depth of skill that they do have acquired in coaching.
Well, I can tell you, Mike, there's going to be some changes because there's a meeting scheduled.
Mm-hmm.
There's some meetings scheduled this weekend for the Final Fours because the debacle on the disparity in the treatment of the women during some of these tournaments, and there are some heads already rolled, and more heads will roll when the season's over because it was an embarrassment.
Mm-hmm. It was.
It was a major embarrassment, and what's his name, head of the NCAA, he tried to cover up, but he had to say it was an embarrassment.
Pimp Cartel. Yep.
Pimp Daddy Mark.
Oh, please, it's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous. Because you
And you know, and what's kind of sad is that full disclosure, I think over the last 3-4 years, I've watched more of the women's tournament than I have the men. I do watch
Me
them,
too.
I do watch them both, but mm-hmm. I make it, and this year they actually opened it up a little bit more so that all the games could be seen. Live between the mouse and their other rat traps as well as ABC. Now everything's going to be on the mouse this weekend, and I think what's good now is that there's still going to be some of the old guard because, you know, UConn's next year's class, they've already got a couple of top recruits coming in.
Yeah.
But the thing is now, though, you don't have to go to a UConn or Tennessee or a Stanford to show out. You know, you see what the woman in Arizona has done real well.
Yes.
Also, as quiet as it's kept, you see what the coach in Maryland has done over the years.
Yes.
And
to
me, you know, with all due respect to Gino, I really think the burgeoning, you know, dynasty is in South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And Dawn's not going anywhere. And see, Dawn built
mm-hmm.
that program.
Nope.
Dawn built that program like Gino built UConn. Like Pat Summitt did Tennessee, like Jody Conrad did Texas, and like Kara Vandeveer did in Stanford. And that's not, you know, women's basketball-wise has never really been big in that area. Now, back in the day, of course, with the Frank McGuire days, South Carolina basketball was pretty cool. And of course, you know, they went to the Final Four not that long ago. But the thing is with her, she's keeping her local flavor there, but she's also recruited nationally. With that being said, huge shout out to Mike Woodson. I think Mike Mike Woodson's the next Juwan Howard. I think Mike Woodson's the next Juwan Howard.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah, yes. Let me tell you something. I was so pissed to hear that. I shouldn't say that. The piss was in regards to, you know, my alma mater, because Woodson ACS is going to be doing some of the same things that when I said when Juwan got hired up at that school up north, I said it's going to tip the scale of basketball recruiting in the Big Ten. It did the first year. Now it's going to happen again. Because some of the elements that you just talked about with the females for certain teams being recruited, one of the big reasons that Barnes is doing well is the fact that a lot of the players that he's getting, she's getting at Arizona, have aspirations of playing in the WNBA. So we have a coach that's played in the WNBA who knows the landscape and can be at a university like they have to develop you. You want to go there. The same thing
Never, even though the WNBA has been around over 20 years, it was never really a factor before, but it is now because you have these former WNBA players that are coaching, and they're making the influence. And see, they also see what they're doing off the court as well.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think that what the WNBA women have done over the years isn't impacting on not just the national scale, but the international scale. All women's basketball fans in the world know who Maya Moore is.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is, the basketball may be secondary because of the social consciousness. But that's the thing. And see, unfortunately, we've seen it over the years, you still, we talk about the old boys network, and you know how they feel about black men, and
mm-hmm.
they feel
mm-hmm.
even worse about black women.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. True. And there's another element to this too, and in regards to the area of young women wanting to play in the WNBA and having that element of coaching that's reflective
right.
not only of what they learn as players, but the style of play that they're teaching.
Exactly.
But on top of that, that has an appeal in a global market that the WNBA is going to reach out. I don't know the specifics, but I sense it already that they're going to market even further more than before. Again, and that should be mm-hmm. reflective in the
and
fact
they
that
will.
You got mm-hmm. and you got a youth woman from Arizona. She has people from Iceland and Australia.
It's true.
Women.
That's right.
So
Patrick, what about this new league in Africa that the NBA is trying to do?
Yeah, well, they've been doing that since I was in the league 30 years ago, man. It's been leading up to that because of the fact that, again, it's an international flavor. People across the world like basketball. I had to tell this clown recently,
mm-hmm.
you know, he was said, well, I don't watch NBA. I'm like, because it's about sports, not about programs. Well, I get my papers. I say, you know something? They don't need you to watch them.
That's right. This is just like soccer, number one sports in the world. All the money for soccer. That's another 2 hours.
Well, look at this. Basketball and soccer are similar in the fact that what do you need to play? You need the ball, and you really don't need
mm-hmm.
much else. You know, you put your Chuck mm-hmm. Handlers on and whatnot, shirt skins. Boom, you got basketball. You know,
mm-hmm.
soccer is really not that different. Although soccer appeals to every ethnic group. Basketball
mm-hmm.
is starting to catch that worldwide flavor.
Oh,
it needs people to keep stirring that pot. Just like Stefan woke up China. Who knows, maybe one day Sue Bird will wake up Iceland or whatever. You're going to have people who are iconic players right now in women's basketball who can take elsewhere and blow the game up.
And also, you got to remember, a lot of your WNBA stars play overseas. You remember, Diana Taurasi basically took the year off Because it's like, I can make more money down there than playing in my damn hometown. And I'm not mad at her. She deserves it.
AJ English made more money overseas when he played against the Washington Bullets. He said, I can go overseas and make more than what Washington's going to pay me.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And see, here's the thing. It's like the old jazz musicians in the 50s. The more identifiable players in the NBA get more love overseas than they do right
that way.
In their home.
They do.
40s, too, in the 60s. Yes, they do.
I'm sorry, Patrick. Go ahead.
Trick about it. If the leagues that they have overseas, women's leagues overseas, again, recruit players, two of the players on that Arizona team played in the worldwide championships of the 18 and under women's group, AU teams. Now, if you get that kind of international exposure, what kind of ball playing are they putting together for leagues to compete against national teams like that to recruit a player to go to Arizona and the United States? What's that telling you?
That's right.
It has popularity. It has appeal.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. And see the thing I like, and it's in both the men's and the women's game, the European players respect the American players. There isn't all these guys and gals, they have and most of the athletes who they admire are not the same color as them as well.
That's right.
They don't get caught up in the whole color and race thing here. It's all about hoops.
I'm more from Dallas. Brothers butts and white boys butts too.
Luka's no joke. Luka's no joke. And he's still a baby. That's the scary thing about him. Put it this way. There's not a pretense, I know it may sound like sour grapes, but I'll say it anyway. There isn't that pretentiousness with him that you had with Porzingis. Now, to be honest,
or Tony Kukoc.
Put it this way. Now, a lot of what Porzingis had to go through was because of that pot smoking hippie that was running the team at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I digress. Dolan's drug of choice is morphium. Patrick makes him play them drums, make him think like he's Buddy Rich.
Every Monday night.
There is hope for the women's game worldwide, but that's because the women made their own luck and put some serious sweat equity into it. It wasn't like the Mouse or anybody else did anything to forward their game. So credit to the ladies for handling their biz. But as you say this, though, sports this
quite
year...
Frankly.
If I can't flip back to where we started, sports this year is going to be dicey. You know, baseball may get off with a nice opening day, but given the nonsense we saw down in Florida during spring break, how the fuck are they going to make any progress when motherfuckers was walking around with no masks? And we know spring break carries for weeks. We know everybody who went to spring break ain't from Florida. But they will take that madness with them back to where the fuck they were and stir this pot all over again.
SIU. Okay, here we go. SIU. Zero. Zero evidence of COVID-19 2 months ago. Guess what? Hello.
Yeah,
even the crabgrass has got COVID now down there.
Oh yeah, see, there you go.
It'll be interesting. What tomorrow? Yeah, yeah, they, yeah. No, it's just a problem.
They don't care. There is a mindset. There's a difference mindset-wise between Florida and down south than it is anywhere else.
You know, I'm interested, like you're saying, Mike, in regards to the attendance factor, how they're going to align these seats once the season starts. Because that close contact stuff is going to be regulated, particularly as numbers get a little bit askew.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they'll be more diligently in Midwest and up north, but down south, I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I know for the Metropolitans, they have to, the fans have to, you have to have to show proof that you took the vaccine or proof that you tested negative. And I'm sure the guys on the other side of that river are doing the same thing. But it's as much as we would like to think that that things are going whatever, it could turn in any minute. But remember, guys, as our Lord and Savior Roger Goodell said, hey, we don't have full houses in the NFL this year.
Now, Mike,
I don't know what they're going to be full of, but they're going to be full houses.
Now, see, there you go, putting the facts in the way on again, see. There you go. Hell yeah. That's just blasphemy, see. That's just blasphemy.
I know. You know what? Give me two Roger Goodells and call me in the morning and I'll feel whatever.
And I'm that great man, Alex. Alex, I'll take the NFL is going to screw these players with an extra game for 1,000. Ding ding ding,
oh,
daily
man.
Double.
Oh
yeah.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Reg, we can get into that because I'm looking at that already, man. Some of the stuff that they got going on. What happened was this new collective bargaining agreement they negotiated with 17 games this season.
Right.
And it was really based – well, they knew they were going to do it anyway. But they waited till the new media deal was signed before they went ahead with it. And it goes to 2030. Okay.
Jesus
now,
Christ.
Yes. Yeah. So
bend
the Super Bowl.
No. He's playing 17 games too. Jesus Christ is actually playing 18, but that's another one.
They can't do 18 until this agreement is over in 2030.
Yes.
So that's what happens. Don't be surprised if they try to go 18. But the Super Bowl, they're going to start from September 9th, and it'll go to January the 9th. That's the season,
Hey, Patrick, when the Super Bowl gets to Vegas, what's the over and under how many young ladies get imported? And I'm talking about the ladies of the evening in Vegas.
That's a different kind of prop bet.
No question.
Mike, dare I say it? I'm just itching at the proposition of that. I might be just itching.
That's right. They don't have any shame anymore.
Yeah.
So you can see Harrah's or any of the big casinos saying, what's the over-under on the amount of ass that one might see at Super Bowl 56?
MGM last had it 50-plus.
And Mike, here's the
caveat. And that's just the MGM. I don't know about Caesar's Palace. That's just the MGM.
You're right. Reg,
and Lord help the Flamingo. Oh, my God.
Here's the caveat to that. The caveat is this. You know, I did a show with Paul Tagliabue about 7-8 years ago. We filmed one of his lectures, and we had Adam on some stuff on my show. Because I was able to do it because he's from Jersey City originally.
Mm-hmm.
But the main thing that that whole hour we got to talk to businessmen in Jersey City about the league was the fact that his goal was to get the Super Bowl at the holiday, which is now a national holiday. But here's another caveat. He mentioned that I didn't think he could pull off, but they have. to have a holiday on Sunday and have a day off afterwards, which is why the Super Bowl is on the 13th of this year. And the day behind it is what? President's Day. So the Moochies can stay an extra day in Las Vegas and make extra money. So
that's right.
That's how they got it set up.
God bless the working women. God bless the working women. God bless the working women.
I think that's interesting is the fact that there's going to be no bye weeks.
Nope.
They're going to go 17 games, but each team will have a bye week continued like they have now. And actually, the vote was closer than we thought. You know, Kamara was on TV yesterday talking about how much you'll like, because he's one of those 959 folks who voted against it.
Yeah.
But he was outdone by 1,059, so he couldn't help it. He couldn't get past that. And one of the other things that they got interesting about this, Bam Boy, is that the revenue share has gone up from 47 to 48. Might not be a lot of money in terms of that 1% unless you expand it. So that's about $4 million extra for each team that they can make.
Right.
But the best part about it, the most interesting about it is the fact that when they have this thing stretched out over 16 weeks, each team got one cent of their check, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm talking about how they get paid. So make a long story short, they get about $1,000 extra in terms of how a team gets how you get paid if you go 16 weeks. Now, what the CBA wanted to do is to stretch that out. So now, since they're playing 17 games, the CBA got them to stretch that money longer. So instead of making $100,000 extra, they're going to make $94,000 per game, but it'll go over a longer period of time. So instead of getting paid from during the football season, they'll have some extra checks coming during the offseason, which is what the players wanted. That's
right. But this also, Patrick, this also puts them in uncharted territory because now there's no buys. There's no rest. Bodies recovering, especially for veteran players, is going to be more significant. As Pat Freeman predicted, the fact that they are eliminating this is going to cause more injuries in the long run. So what are you going to do? Are you going to expand squads further? Because you know you're going to take a beating. The nature of the game itself will allow you to understand that you're going to need more bodies, but more significant that can supplement your team.
Only three exhibition games.
And they only go from the 60 players on the team, with having 10 players and practice squad players, they can afford that, particularly when you're going to make about $40 billion by 2030. So they can do that. But the other trick about it, you know, since 17 games, they're going to alter who has 9 games home and who has 8 games away every other year. So, like, if the Giants have 9 home games this year, they only have 8 home games next
home
year. They're going to alter what that is, because ain't going to be no more ties. Ain't no more 8-8s. As the guy said, ain't going to be no Jeff Fisher 8-8 and make the playoffs.
Think about what that one game would be worth to a team that would have had an 8-8 season, but in the last game they win. You know, players have it in their contracts as to how many games they not only participate in, but if they win. That's one thing that the XFL brought out. When the XFL was playing, they showed everybody, look, if you win the game, you make more money. You lose the game, you get less money. And that's not really new because the semi-pro leagues did that shit a long time ago. I won't speak on this regard.
Mike, there's one thing you like. In terms of playing overseas, every team is going to play at least one game over the next 8 years.
Right.
All 32 teams. Now, and guess what they're going to play? The bidding now from the United Kingdom, from Mexico, Brazil, Canada, and your favorite place, Mike, Germany.
all went through the NFL. Listen, the German Bundesliga, the Bundesliga there had about 140 teams, six levels of skill, and the best players were probably, I would say, Division III quality. You know, in terms, and a lot of these guys were also soldiers who stayed over there. You know, there were a lot of big butt motherfuckers who couldn't play, but they had the desire to want to play. And there were also others who had played soccer, but they really couldn't translate that skill to playing football. But they definitely were into it. They've been many of them have been America files, and I include my friend Dirk Jaschik in this, since the war. They've always dug things American and whatnot, but especially football. So it's not a surprise that they decided to do this. And it's no surprise that when NFL Europe was in effect, most of the league, by the time they had settled down, was German, with the exception of the Amsterdam Admirals. So they know where their market is. It took them a while to find it, but if they go through with this, they'll get the NFL players they want, because they didn't want the third stringers and whatnot that were coming over there in the First World League of American Football. They'll get the players they want, they'll get the exposure they want, and they'll be raking in cash. And it may stir the expansion fires again, so that Saad Khan officially moves Jacksonville to England, and whoever else might be thinking about moving may jump in with it too.
Well, that Buffalo to Canada thing's probably gonna get a little bit more momentum now.
Oh yeah, it's still in the mix. Don't think about it. Yeah, as Pat was saying, Rogers Cable. Rogers is the big holder there. If they get in on this, they're turning in a whole other revenue stream over there, because their cable gets sold, or the time when the cable gets sold differently than what's sold down here. It's a lot more expensive, I think, to carry a Comcast-like account in Canada. And because of it, if they have an immediate source that they can connect to cut down costs, they're all for it.
Well, you know, it's interesting because we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, where the XFL is trying to have a relationship with the CFL, and I'm wondering, and maybe this is just too much speculation, I'm wondering what's going to be the XFL stake in this now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's definitely they are thinking about this big time, because Rock Johnson came into this shit, and Rock played in the CFL. He played with the Calgary Stampeders as a D lineman. And the fact that he knows they work, all the front offices there work on set budgets, they were into caps even before caps were introduced. So if somehow he is able to combine both aspects of what the CFL does best with the teams in the XFL and somehow translate that into a viable league, well, he's got the fan base already, because the CFL is the oldest league in North America. They are older than the NFL. Yep. So if somehow they can keep the balance, because in the CFL you've got imports and non-imports. You have to have a certain amount of non-imports or Canadian players on your team. That's the same in Canadian colleges as well. So this will give them a lot to think about regarding how they'll negotiate through that part, because those jobs will mean a lot to them too. They're cats working in the CFL who have guys from Canada Post making more money than they do. So that dollar really does matter over there. And they got to get something going, because there was no CFL last year. There was talk about an expansion province, expansion team rather, in Halifax, the Schooners. But it ain't going to happen if they don't put some money into the pot and get this thing going and make sure they got a clear sailing to run that league for at least a year.
Mike, one of the ways that this has economic and business interest is the fact that, what you said, the Canadian Football League has a base that's well established. And you're on point on each aspect of having a full understanding of the Canadian Football League. And imagine, let's put it this way, imagine playing a Canadian-style football league game in the United States with the wide-open way that they play.
Before.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And bringing it back updating it with all the all the broadcast platforms they have now. You wouldn't need the network. Of course, you'd want a network deal of some kind, but you wouldn't need them as much as you did before to make it work. So it's
exactly. Yes. No, that's true. They would eat it up, frankly, because once they learn the rules, and the Baltimore Stallions / CFLers, when they were in the league, they picked up on it faster than anybody. But they see they had a quarterback in Tracy Ham who understood the Canadian game. So it wasn't a surprise that they played as well as they did or that they had better talent because the team was All-American. They knew the intricacies of the game, and they took full advantage of it. And that's what any team, regardless of whether it's CFL or XFL, that has to understand that. The sooner you learn the nuances, the easier it is for you to negotiate down the field and work everything in order to get your team success. And I have to say also for the record, Baltimore's radio stations down there gave everybody a half-hour tutelage on the CFL when the Baltimore team was down there. And that first season, they averaged 37,500 fans. So they understood, they did their homework, and they were rewarded.
Yeah.
And I think it also give a great outlet for some HBCU schools to get some players in that maybe were not given the kind of shot they would get on the NFL to get some different kind of exposure.
There you go.
Hey, but, yeah, but, Patrick, my thing is when it comes to our HBCUs, I don't know if the professor is there, it seems like we're getting cherry-picked now, even on the football side. You see now, guys, I can tell you that this COVID-19 has got guys transferring, leaving HBCUs left and right. You know, they really pissed off because they couldn't play no football this year, and especially the CIAA in the small division and basketball. State and lost two guys already, and I'm sure some other people lost some guys too. So,
and
your opinion about your HBCUs, where does that fall as far as those guys leaving going to the bigger schools?
Well, I think one way you have to look at it is there's going to be a flushing out of a lot of stuff this year in the football season. Once the season's over. With the HBCU schools that they have now playing in the springtime, there's going to be some flushing out of some things that can create some opportunities, or more importantly, be able to look at some players differently. Of course, they can't have the combine this year for HBCUs because of the pandemic.
No.
But again, it's a whole year of just readjusting to see what can happen and where it's going.
And to be
quite honest, the white schools is losing players too. There's a bunch
of that transfer portal.
It goes both ways.
And
something else to look at, you know, some coaches have taken what I would call a realistic approach to this. You know, I know Maynard basically told his guys, if you're not all conference, and you know, if you were third stringer last year, get your education and get the hell out. Simply because it's not worth your time nor my time, and he's just being honest. Because one of the things I was trying to figure out with this whole Deion Sanders thing is how was he going to treat the guys that were there already. And
that's a good point.
You know, he's talking that family stuff, but you know, he got 30 some guys coming in that are going to bump with the guys who are already there, who gets that extra year. Now, I think Meaner is taking a really realistic way to look at it. I mean, you got kids. Like, I know there's a kid at Fayetteville State. I mean, homeboy, he's a decent ball player. But he's not going to the next level. He needs to be going ahead and take the GMAT and get ready for med school. Because that's where his future is. Versus,
he'll make more money.
and see that's one of the things. That's one of the things that we have tried to get across to young people. Because like I said, one of the guys that was in school with Stephen A. Smith. if you look at making money as far as guys who came out at the same time and went to the NBA, Boris made more money than a lot of the guys. He works with the Timberwolves. He's made more money than a lot of the guys who actually played, because he's in marketing. He makes 6 and 7 figures a year, and he's been doing that since he went up there in 1993. He's ready to, my understanding, he's supposed to be retiring if he hasn't already, because there's more money in marketing over 30 years than he is playing for 10 years.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, you know, this whole thing, I mean, some of these guys going to stay, but, you know, you still stuck with 36, and the division two level, you stuck with 36 scholarships. At the division one AA level, you stuck with 63. So somebody got to get somewhere to get the guys, the incoming guys in.
Let me answer that, Fred. You know, they're given the 6 year to players that didn't play last year.
Right. Even if they play in the spring.
That's it.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It might be 56 before it's over.
So far, that's part of the crap that you got to deal with the NCAA. They're saying you can stay, but they're not making the adjustment. There got to be at least 25 scholarships added at the Division II level, because I mean, but then there's the other question: where's the money coming from?
Especially when you think of the conferences, Division I or Division IV. Where they haven't played in over a year.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm really interested in seeing how this is going to play out this coming year. Because I think, you know, I think with the vaccine and stuff, you're going to have everything is going to be open up some more probably within the next couple of months, because even here in North Carolina, we have gotten a reprieve to a point, because they're actually last week at the Hurricanes game, they actually had 2,500 people, and they almost had the white guys almost had a mess, because they were so used to not having hardly anybody in there.
And they're going to have to relearn everything, Fred. This is a whole relearning process, because the fact of somebody dying, fortunately, has not come into view yet, but it's a very real possibility. Forget about vaccines and all the other shit. You know, you're dealing in a human situation here, and if one player ends up on the other side of that, all of this shit goes to hell. And they still have been, they've been pushing it as far as they could with being able to do what they do, because they had no choice. The NFL skated for a whole year with this, but you know, time will eventually come around if somebody gets deathly sick, and whatever, shit will shut down.
Well, the other thing they got to deal with now is this you know, this COVID produces a problem with the cardiovascular system. So
right. The blood flow.
That's something that's crazy. I mean, you know, we only had a sample of that. Remember when there was some Florida State who dropped that on the floor? And this, I think it was back before Christmas, but, you know, we ain't heard nothing about him. I mean, the only thing I heard about Florida State is they got beat the other night because they couldn't play straight out ball.
Couldn't shoot.
I'm gonna take a shot at watching Final Four this weekend, I think. I may and I may not.
It'll be interesting.
You want to talk about the referee so bad from the women's part. I might not like that either.
Well, Fred, your point is made relative to the betting lines. Because if Baylor plays Gonzaga in the finals, a whole lot of people are going to be homeless by Tuesday morning.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the one element that they have not taken away in all of this. The gambling still goes on. The betting still goes on. The prop bets still go on. And the cash go everywhere except where it needs to go to the players. So the one thing that they haven't really talked about a lot is now that this is going to be happening down the road, what will happen if Fred Whitted is a student athlete who has a website called Professor Fred, where he does things where you actually can get revenue from Patreon or anything else like that for what are you going to do to him now? Because before, somebody like that would have been kicked off the team. Compliance would have came after Fred with the long knives. But now players can be more creative in that regard. How is that going to affect the politics with them playing on the team? Because if Fred's a starter, they won't fuck with him. But if Fred's second or third string, they'll say, get your black ass out of here.
Okay, Fred, Mike, I'm going to hit you with this. I'm told you I've been doing research on it, but I still haven't gotten the composite like I want to speak on it authoritatively. But I have found that the former West Virginia University football player, Sean Austin, sued NT in 2014, claimed that the organization violates the Sherman Act, placing limits on how each school can give athletes in exchange for the athletic ability. Now, Sherman Act says in part that businesses cannot collude to hinder any kind of competition that drives the American economy system. Now, it was the kid from West Virginia in 2014, this Ninth Circuit Court, that really pushed everything over. We had the O'Bannon, which we're talking about, O'Bannon from the EA and the images, but Austin is the guy that's pushing what's going on that's going to be on the Supreme Court. My best friend since I was 13, Glenn State's 6-8 championship team. He's one that got me on State. He's a former judge and law professor. He's working on some stuff now, and he informed me that this final decision is going to be determine actually what's going to go on. I will say this, that what I do know, that the powers that be and the NC2A have lobbying people that goes back to their big golf function that they have, that the NCAA has a membership at in Arizona.
Oh, yeah, I don't deny.
Where they have meetings that when they met with the lobbyists to create how it's going to be put together. Now, it's going to happen, but how it's going to be framed to where it can be equitable to the aspect of what I always tell my interns about going to college. I said, college is a business that sells education.
So, hey, Patrick, where's the old ball coach when we need them, Patrick? I hear the old ball coach now. Well, we ain't need the NCAA. We just do it ourselves.
Don't be surprised. The Power Five got that in the back of their mind. Don't be surprised.
You know they do.
NCAA knows that their days are numbered.
NCAA
got one more time to really step in it the way they have.
And screw it up.
The Power Five is out the door, got their own thing because they got their own money now. Remember, the NCAA waited for them to make up their minds before they decide, okay, we're gonna sanction this year for those who do and those who don't. We give everybody an extra year.
But, Fred, there's one factor that's not included in this, and that is the possibility that so-called amateur athletes, can file civil suits against their employers. Literally, I'm talking about the situation in Iowa, where the Iowa players were getting in Ferentz's ass because of the jackass who was the strength conditioning coach, and you saw what happened. Urban Meyer tried to hire him, and he got G-checked, so that was out. But we know that there was efforts long ago for college players to form unions, et cetera, et cetera. What's the likelihood of a civil case coming down the pike regarding football or basketball players for revenue against these college pimp ass motherfuckers?
What happened last weekend? You know Geo Baker of Rutgers? You know, they almost didn't play.
Yeah.
And several teams almost didn't play. It's already happened.
Patrick, run that down for everybody. Please tell everybody what happened at Rutgers.
Well, at Rutgers, Geno Baker was the captain of the team. This is what education does for you. What a lot of people think just dribble. This brother didn't just dribble. He's hearing from other players across the whole spectrum of NCAA sports, in particular basketball. Wait, we're generating all this money, and we can have a say in terms of how it can be distributed much more equitably to us. So what they did, they had a meeting before they played Houston about, are we going to play in that? And not only them, several other teams weren't involved.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until the last minute they said, okay, we'll play, but we're going to continue the effort to put out there that this has to change. Of course, they lost the game, but he's still on the case, and he's getting ready to graduate to put it to the test of what has to be done to compensate play.
Right. Yeah. There's some serious meat in that sandwich. And they can't ignore it anymore. They can't use the excuse of the pimp cartel just throwing a legal hammer on them. They're exposed. They know they're in the last throes of whatever it is they're doing, and they seem to be spending more energy trying to deflect instead of trying to find a counter because they really don't have one. So in the long run, the Power Five conferences will have to do business differently. And this is where the smaller schools and HBCUs can be different and at least offer not just the alternative of better education, but better revenue streams. Because we know the big conferences, forget it, do you think the SEC really wants to share any of that profit with any of those schools and their players? Hell no.
Man, please.
They're not going to have a choice.
No choice.
Remember, at the University of Texas, there was a booster that was willing to spend $10,000 per head for everybody on the University of Texas traveling roster. That's 78 people. So $780,000 would have shut everybody the fuck up because Texas A&M makes more money than they got to give them kids for stipends than they would ever get in half of football. Not even a whole game, a half of football.
So Mike, you're basically telling me that basically it's not LeBron, but it's actually Bevo who's the real cash cow?
That's right.
That was a moo-moo-moo.
Cows will charge your ass.
It's true. They'll charge you even more if they don't get paid. And there's a whole bunch of cows in collegiate football that need their little area to graze. Yes.
And Mike, they are not contented.
Oh, they ain't contented. Hell no. No contented cows here. They'll be contented when they get paid, and I don't blame them one fucking bit.
Now, Mike, the other side of it is this. You mentioned Texas.
Sorry.
Here's what you're going to have to start.
I couldn't help myself. The trip of Moo got me.
I know, Reggie, you can't help it. Here's a scenario that I mentioned recently with one of the coaches and athletic directors here locally, because we got a kid from Arizona that's going to be drafted. Frank Darby, look up. Nice receiver. You can pick me three or four front. I think Tim's going to pick him up. Johnny to pick him up personally, but that's another story. But the point is, well, what we just talked about, look at the revenue and how it's going to be distributed and be disseminated by coaches
based upon the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take, for instance,
let's
combine the recruiting and the play of a place like Alabama.
They don't have for it.
With Nick Saban,
how many Jets they gonna have the ground?
Rashad Jones, he, number one running back in the country, comes to Alabama. First day on campus, somebody wants to, you know, get him boosted with something.
That's right.
And Saban says, no, you're going to sit your ass in and get this practice together.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going to work out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nick Saban ain't going to play.
You still have, in addition to this, the Reggie Bush / Chris Webber factors. What I mean by that is they made all this fuss about Reggie and the $300,000 supposedly that they spent on him to get his mom a house, et cetera, et cetera. Reggie's people could have said, well, you know what? For every one of those number five jerseys that everybody was wearing when I was out there busting their ass,
give me
$5. I get $1 off every jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Now, if you're working like that, that's the kind of nonsense we're talking about. Chris Webber, his jersey, his University of Michigan jersey, number four jersey, was still valuable 30 years after he fucking left, picking it up at Modell's for $19.99.
That's what Ed O'Bannon was talking about in the lawsuit back in the day. Him and
Oscar that's Robert. Exactly
just
what Ed O'Bannon was talking about.
That's the first part.
You got to remember, there's different layers to this because let's be honest. Each revenue bringing in sport offers different things and different because let's face it, a football traveling roster is going to be a hell of a lot more than a traveling basketball roster.
That's right. 80 versus 15. But what about Title IX, gentlemen? Title IX upset Apricot before.
At the end of the day, Title IX, it should work for the women because, let's face it, there are some of these schools where, and it's not just Tennessee, where the women's basketball team is a revenue is a heavy revenue generated sport.
But,
exactly. I know Stanford is pretty good.
All I got to do is go X amount of miles up the road from my house in the middle of nowhere, and truth be told, the women's team does generate more than the men's does.
Exposure too. You got Connecticut, you got Tennessee, you got Stanford, you got Notre Dame. Think how much Skylar Diggins could have got if she had gotten a dollar off of every jersey with her number on it that they wore. The business plans don't differ. It's just the sport that's out there, and especially the NCAA would hamstring their asses too. It means just as much for the female athletes as it does for the males, maybe more.
Probably more so now than in previous years.
Definitely.
Yeah. But I go back again, gentlemen, that when the NCAA were talking that shit and the ball coach said, all right, boys, y'all keep talking shit, but guess what? We don't do everything our way. And I said, oh, Lord, here you go. The shit done hit the fan.
Well, they can.
And how long ago were you talking about the ball coach? About 10
now.
Years ago?
No, especially that's now.
That's what I said about Nick Saban. He got the top running back in the country. Here's the easy part. I want him after the game to meet with come to this tailgate function, sign some autographs.
$1,000 handshake, a sock in the pocket.
Think about this, guys.
Come on, man.
And I don't like to play the what if game, but because I like those old Marvel comic books, I'm going to throw this in the pot. What if LeBron James?
Oh, the cash cow.
Move.
Seriously.
All you have to do is one
what
year.
What would have happened if he had gone to college?
Ohio State? You mean Ohio,
Ohio State?
Any college.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what I'm saying.
No, he was going to Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
He was going. He said on many occasions, that's what I was going.
Yeah,
He knows the state, no, not the school. The state will take care of him.
Yes, sir, mm-hmm. In more ways than one.
So even if he plays one season, even if he played one season, Patrick, think about how much money he would make. He would probably make more money in 1 year than the Fab Five made in Michigan in the years that they were dominant.
How much money did United them make when he played for the Cleveland Cavaliers his first year? Oh, my God.
I will tell you this much. And in the overall composite of what you're saying and reflected not just in college but pros, we all know downtown Miami was built by the weed and various other unsigned of drugs.
Medicinal cursed weed? Are we talking about where my great state of Virginia
if
you're talking about doing the Dougie on South Beach, okay, yeah, we can talk about it.
And they didn't hide it, okay?
Calm down, Big Z. Calm down.
take that in Miami.
Oh, Lord.
Get that kind of impact of what LeBron did for downtown Cleveland.
This is a factor, Patrick. They are not, because they never had to, estimate the earning potential of college athletes. That's why I brought up Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush made the University of Southern California a shitload of money. And even though the quarterback that was there, the boy wasn't shit.
Reggie Bush didn't say it with gusto, son.
paying off whatever investment they made in him, whether it was with the shoebox of cash like back in the old days, or making sure his mom got a house.
About
that was nothing.
Hey,
you
talking about suitcase 37 with the butter money coming out of the FedEx package? Suitcase 37.
I want Gary to rev up again, because there's an arrogance with this shit. These motherfuckers don't want to share any of this. They don't want to share this pot. They want to give
that
big 180-pound pages of sub clauses and fine print and put it in the parents' hands and say, well, y'all agree to this. You want to be able to make sure that Patrick can't have fucking lunch when somebody buys him a fucking hamburger and you're going to handicap his college career because of that bullshit?
Don't forget eating a cheeseburger gets suspended. Don't forget that one.
No. Those days are done. And then if they don't have the mindset to understand and realize that these are your business partners instead of the chattel, then this ain't gonna work, and there will be a civil case, and the NCAA with all their lawyers and all their bullshit, they will lose because they can't get away with the shit anymore.
Here's a number for you, Mike. Football players have about $120,000 made the top, and in the Power Five, $120,000 worth of scholarship.
$125,000 for a playing football.
$120,000 for football players, $265,000 for basketball players. You start the math from there,
and begin to multiply and into the billions. And you can't play a player some money?
Since the show is over tonight, I'm calling my nephew, and I'm gonna start learning him how to do a 3-point stance.
Hey, but Patrick, didn't one of the Justin say I like watching sports because you know the people ain't getting paid for it? I think once again, Justin made that comment. Now, what does that tell you about how they're leaning?
And guys, you got to deal with this. They signed a deal in 2016. The deal is $8.8 billion. It goes out in 2 billion.
That went over to my head. Say it again, Patrick. I don't think people
$8.8 billion. I didn't say $1 million.
That's fine.
And that's
right.
It goes out again.
Billion with a B.
That's with the big B, not the small B, the big B. That's Bebe kids, the big B.
See, while they're pulling people's coats to the reality, still trying to satisfy you with the belief that you're not going to get what you're supposed to get. And that's what bothers me most.
Mike, they're going to get something. I think it's going to smack these NTA people upside the head.
That's right.
I'm waiting for the antitrust. But Patrick, real quick question, Patrick, real quick. Okay, I got to ask this. When it comes to the NCAA and the Supreme Court, what's your gut feeling?
I think Supreme Court is going to lean towards players. Because the very
this
fact
conservative
that,
court?
I tell you, the very fact
that
the first time.
I do.
Now, it might be a compromise, but they're going to get something out of it. The Supreme Court will give these students something. Because
that's right.
Come on,
June. The money.
Come on, June.
When I was in school, when I was in college 50 years ago, man, 50 years ago this year, come on, it was millions. Now we're in the bins, and that's what they can count, let alone the kind of financial platforms that you know nothing about.
Exactly. The big B. Yeah, the billion. Not the million.
Big B with a billion. Gentlemen, that's a good place to leave it for next time. Some great discourse as always and some good food for thought. So, Reggie, lead it off and throw something in the pot for us.
You know, it's amazing. Shocker, my man Shocker, used to be at VCU, led the boys to the Final Four, and I think if he hadn't played the other squad and played Kentucky, they might have been in championship game. Mm-hmm. Now the man done pulled up faith and say, the hell with Texas. There's too much pressure down here. These white folks getting on my fucking nerves. That's a real fan. He done half put it in my chest. Now, I don't know what his wife saying. I don't know what his wife saying, but you know the weather in Texas versus Milwaukee, Wisconsin is a little different. I hope they got some big husky dogs out there to plow the field and get a snowblower.
But Reg, let's
yes,
be
sir.
Honest.
Yes, sir.
There's more of a basketball culture out there.
That's true.
Than Texas could ever think about.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. Yes.
I say again, losing that first round game in the first round probably had that seat so hot that he probably had his reservation Marquette when he landed in Texas and said, that's out of here.
Well,
George Floyd is right now, I'm just saying, damn, if this ever was an open shut case where to hear this prosecutor tell a firefighter, well, didn't somebody interrupt you while you're doing your job? What would you do? Wouldn't you be frustrated? No, I do my damn job, try to save a life. Just food for
thought. There you go. I like that. And Shaka is smart enough to move to Marquette, where I think he'll do a lot better. Professor, please throw something in the pot.
Well, y'all, talking about the baseball in the South, the thing we got to think about right now is the fact that no matter what we say and what we do, we got to get these states on the same sheet of paper because right now they're not. You go from state to state, one more jacked up than the other. And I'll start with North Carolina. Right now, we're at our best that we've been in quite a while. And I don't know if y'all been watching, slowly but surely, the SWAC is getting through. But strangely, for whatever reason, Alabama A&M is having a hell of a time getting on the field because they've had another game canceled and look like they're going to have two canceled. So one of the better teams in the SWAC ain't even playing because of cancellations and buys and cancellations.
Yeah,
what they're going to do. But, you know, we – This is just another one of those situations where we got to, you know, hope for the best and hope no, like we've always said, let's hope none of these young men fall out on the field or in the locker room or on the bus,
yeah.
or go to the bus on the way back and, you know, don't wake up. You know, and that's the side of our story I hope I never have to tell. I mean,
yeah,
we've experienced it. With heat strokes and this kind of stuff. My freshman year, three guys in North Carolina alone passed out and died on the field, practice field, because back then, real men did drink water.
Didn't drink water.
Yeah, that's right.
And these three guys, one at Duke, one at Carolina, one at Livingstone, all went away before they got them on the field.
But didn't drink water.
You know, anyway, we still got to tell our story, and that's the type of story we're going to be telling. We are making progress on the women's encyclopedia, sports encyclopedia. We're getting ready to start on the Gulf Coast Athletic Conference, which is it's not a totally black conference, but it's heavily, and we're gonna at least highlight the kids from the HBCUs from that conference as best we can. So if you want to buy books, go to www.blackheritagereview.com. You can buy the sports encyclopedia or the books on Claflin University or Livingstone.
All right. Thank you, Professor. www.blackheritagereview.com. Books, T-shirts, bric-a-brac, firecracker, sis, boom, bob, Bugs Bunny, rah, rah, rah. Yes. Reading is fundamental. Put some black history on your nightstand. And having said that, Patrick, please throw something in the pot.
One of the things I'm happy to do what I'm doing now in media because it's something I want to do on all the years I work professionally. Even though it has its ups and downs, I enjoy every day walking in the studio. But outside of that, being working in the front office of an NBA team can have this gave me the same kind of thrill and exhilaration. Because it was a combination of all my skills that that I've been able to garner and blessed with. But I'm glad to see today, this is the last day of Women's History Month, to see a sister in a position to make things happen that wasn't happening when I was in the league. A woman from, of all places, the Atlanta Hawks. Melissa Proctor is a CMO of the Atlanta Hawks, doing some things to make some things happen, to make doing some things, and on that team that you don't see on television in the box scores, to make that organization a solid organization. Congratulations.
Right on.
I'm happy to see her doing stuff. It's well overdue because I've seen some other white women in the league. Please, don't get me started.
Yes, indeed.
Not taking anything away from some women who have done some who were really good, but this sister, they gave her a shot. And Atlanta Hawks has always been, despite what people say, it's been a little head and high in black folks because one of the best PR people that I met in the league when I first got there was from the Atlanta Hawks.
Right on.
And they teamed keep that legacy going.
Excellent. Right on. You know, got to give sisters credit for putting in work. Glad that some of them are being recognized for that. And again, I also put a shout out to Rhonda and all she's working with regarding Africa Surf, and she's done most, if not all, of this off of her own steam. She's a fantastic woman, and I am proud to call her my friend, sis, and colleague, as we all are here at Black Athlete. So, Rhonda, keep doing what you're doing. Much love to Sister Gal from Atlanta and Big G. Now it's your turn to throw something in the pot.
I am protesting MSG.
Uh-oh.
Pittsburgh Garden Network. MSG
good for you.
Broadcasting only games from the Midwest to the East Coast, not to the West Coast. I am not happy with this because I am a New York Knicks fan. I like good. To see you, my dear.
Yeah, my sympathies.
You're the guy?
But MSG with this regulation ought to be due because there's no reason why they can't go out to the West Coast. We're tired, y'all. I'm tired.
Be fired, guys. Garrett, National Stream TV. And I'll send you the thing. I'll email you the thing if you really want your MSG.
thank you.
I really want it.
Here we go. Saturday, tomorrow night, we are Stevie Wonder against
Smokey
Robinson.
That's hot. As Jose Feliciano would say, I gotta see that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Gary, somebody's gonna be mad.
Gary, stop.
Right, I want y'all to stay tuned. Because right now, we're going to go serve right out here tonight on Racism in America. Racism in America right at 4 o'clock.
All right.
So
the code will be busy Thursday night, Stevie and Smokey. Friday night,
no
a special BASN Newsroom Black Paper on Racism. With Gary leading the charge in the debate. And, of course, on the weekend, we do what we do. Gary will come in 4 o'clock Eastern, 1 on the Pacific Coast time. We're keeping it hot. We are endeavoring to be the best radio station that we can be. And we appreciate everybody who has participated in the competition thus far. The big, big competition will continue. As you said, there'll be another double matchup Sunday on my show. Gary, thanks for leading the way with all of this. Tony, it's time to throw something in the pot.
Somebody's going to be mad. I have breaking news. MLB.com is saying, according to a source, a certain shortstop in New York has agreed to a 10-year, $301 million deal.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Tony, my cousin.
Huh?
My cousin?
No.
That's right.
You know what? I'm going to be If I can break into Patrick Mahomes' place, you can very easily go see Frankie Lindor. So yeah. So the deal's done. So
Tony, question, Tony, do you think Fred Wolpaw would have pulled this off?
Give me a second. Oh, hell no. There's a better chance of Frankie being a door guy at Studio 54 than them.
Wow.
Him, you know?
Shit.
But with that being said, this isn't too shocking what I'm about to say. The Mets are not going to win the World Series. And I can say that without having an aneurysm or whatever. They're not all the way there yet. Do I think they'll make playoffs? That's a possibility. Yeah, they could maybe be a wild card team. I still think the best team in that division still plays in Dixie, plain and simple.
Mm.
Now, Washington has improved themselves.
And I will not sleep on the Marlins quite yet. If they intend to pay the players more than minimum wage, but I digress.
What about the Pirates? No cussing. You have to make it a label.
You know, Fred, they actually have one of the best prospects in all of baseball, Charlie Hayes' son.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe
that's intriguing.
I believe he's going north this year too. I believe he's just, I believe he's the starting third baseman or what have you.
Now, as
for the other 25 guys, they all. The best thing I can say about the Pirates is that they play in Pittsburgh. I'll leave it. Let's put it this way. If they're willing to spend some more money, and I know "if" is a big word, you know, they may have themselves. They actually have a decent minor league. They've got some decent players in their minor league system. So
you're still then.
Yeah, they probably will, but we'll see what happens. But yeah, but
all right.
I think fundamentally, they're a year away.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're a year away from saying, okay, now let's go out and win this. But this was a nice start. This was a very, very, very nice start. I actually did not think that they would pull the deal off this soon. But Uncle Stevie's doing something. We'll see how the West plays out.
We will definitely keep posted on this. So yes, baseball will crack it open tomorrow. Good luck to all the teams. Good luck to all the chefs here who have been stirring the pot all night and putting some good food for thought out. And just as one little reminder, as we finish up Women's Month and we go into April, you know, we've seen gains made. We've seen people do things that they were allowed to do because their talent was respected. There is still, male or female, an overall disrespect and resentment towards black, not just black athletes, but black executives, black people who are in the business, and they're slowly, slowly cracking that bottle open. But nothing is more annoying than having someone walk up to you and saying, how long have you been a black manager? Now, they didn't ask that question specifically, but you get what I'm saying, because they said it to Doug about being a quarterback. You know, for whatever games are made, there's going to be somebody who's going to pull that shit and really be speaking it out loud, or they'll have a hot mic moment with, like what happened with Brennerman and those punk motherfuckers down in Norman, Oklahoma. Or, you know, it may just be that the overall vibe is just so strong that you won't be able to shake it off. So in that spirit, I want to remind y'all what my girl Brandy told me.
I don't want to fuck nobody up.
No, no.
I don't want to fuck nobody up.
No, no.
I don't want to fuck nobody up.
With the wheels that I have to lose.
I don't want to fuck nobody up. I don't want to fuck nobody up.
With the wheels that I have.
Yeah. I don't want to fuck nobody up.
No, no.
I don't wanna fuck nobody up.
No, 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 no.
Another reminder for us to handle our business before our business handles us. Go safe, stay safe, be safe. We'll see you tomorrow night for the continuation of the Big Bang Tournament. Ciao.